Let's bring in Drew Edwards. He is editor at 3downnation.com. Mr. Edwards, sir, how are you?
Can I tell a Kevin Glenn story?
Does it involve don't? Didn't you go? Did I not tell you? Wasn't it your story? One of my favorite, honest to God, one of my favorite feature stories in the spec. Didn't you go down to his Tim Hortons franchise?
I did. Well, I did. I went down to Detroit. One of my first big features for the spec when I started covering the beat was to go down to Detroit.
It was funny.
Spent a day with Kevin Glenn, and he owned a couple of Tim Hortons franchises in Detroit. Doesn't know them anymore, but he went and worked behind the counter, and we went to some of his old haunts in Detroit and met his high school coach and met his family and met his wife and his son at the time, a young son. They've got two kids now, but just got to know him as a person. It was a great trip, and one of my favorite moments from that trip was he was dropping his son off at daycare, and the kid was probably at the time maybe two and a half, and he had one of those epic kid sneezes, like the ones where it changes the rotation of the earth.
Yes, exactly.
And literally his face is covered and it's just everywhere. And Kevin is like trying to drive his Land Rover and like wipe this kid's face. And he's like, this is the glamorous life of a professional quarterback right here. So he was just he is a really good guy and hasn't won a title. And he is one of the few players in this league that I actually feel some emotional attachment to. I would like to see him win a Grey Cup to sort of put that hole in his resume, to fill that hole in his resume, to sort of get that those doubters and those people that have always held that against him to sort of finish that off. He's a really good guy.
When did it all come together this year for the Rough Riders?
That's a good question. I'm not sure there was any real singular moment watching that team. I think that they've just, it's been a slow build for them. I think that they added so many pieces in the off season. I think that it was sort of inevitable that it was going to take them a certain amount of time to sort of pull that all together, right? Because there were so many new guys. And so, I think they've just sort of gradually, they've had sort of been a slow start, and then they played pretty well, and then there was a couple of losses in the middle there that raised some concern. And I think they've just sort of, they're playing better football now. Their best football of the season right now. I think winning in Calgary a few weeks ago really shocked some people and gave them a huge boost of confidence that this was something they could actually do.
What I love about this game, Drew, is that it features two of the league's all-time leading passers. And if you're not a CFL fan, please turn into this game because this will be a real treat between these two elder statesmen.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think we saw in the East semifinal, right, where there was three touchdowns in like 4 minutes, right? I think that the playoff football, particularly if the weather's okay, has been pretty good. And the teams that are left, I think are the four best teams in the CFL, or certainly the teams playing the best football right now. And, you know, Ricky Ray is a guy that just continues to get better with age somehow. And he's had one of his best statistical seasons this year. So I think Mark Trestman, like he did with Anthony Calvillo in Montreal, has sort of reinvigorated Ray and given him a new opportunity to sort of to grow as a quarterback. And that's another team that, after a bit of a slow start, has really started to fire on all cylinders. This is going to be a great matchup on Sunday. I think it's a real pick-em game.
You know, and the other thing we've seen happen too is that both of these teams, you've seen an emergence of the running game between James Wilder Jr. and Marcus Thigpen for Saskatchewan. I mean, I think the last time these teams met, I don't think either of those players, I don't know, was Wilder on the team the last time these two teams met?
Yeah, I think Wilder was around, but certainly not, featured in the same way that he is right now. And Thigpen, wasn't a factor for the Riders at that point. And I mean, Thigpen, that's the first game he started as a running back since his Hamilton days, as far as I can recall, right? And he's a speed guy, right? And not a guy, generally speaking, that's run a ton between the tackles. And so that was kind of interesting to see him on Saturday. Really, he was able to break some runs by running inside, and that's not something that Thigpen is known for. And again, we're talking about Kevin Glenn. It's that connection between Glenn and Thigpen. They're both from Detroit. They played together in Hamilton. It was Thigpen scrolling through his Instagram and seeing Kevin Glenn passed the 50,000-yard mark for his career, that inspired Big Ten to want to come back and play more football. He actually reached out to Glenn and said, I want to come back, I want to play. And it was Glenn that put him in touch with Chris Jones, and that's how Big Ten got back into the league. So, I mean, we've been talking about the fact that everything is 6 degrees of Kevin Glenn. Well, there's another one.
Do people appreciate, and I'm not talking about this city in particular, I'm talking about the CFL. Do people appreciate Ricky Ray? Has he won a most outstanding player award? And he's played, what, 14 years? I don't know if he's won a most outstanding player award. Do people in the league appreciate Ricky Ray enough?
No, he hasn't won an MOP award. We were talking about that with him last week, actually. And he sort of said, you know, I think he's won the East award once.
Right.
But he's like, you know, I haven't. There's always been good players in the league and all the rest. I mean, you know, Ricky Ray, sort of like, he said, boo-hoo, poor me, kind of thing, in that sort of laughing way, in that sort of sly, funny way that Ricky Ray does things. I mean, you know, that's not something that would keep Ricky Ray awake at night in any way, shape, or form, given the career that he's had. Would he like to win it? Sure, I think he would, but I think he's more focused on, winning another Grey Cup. Do people appreciate him? Certainly people around the league do, right? I think players, coaches, media, people that follow the league closely absolutely appreciate Ricky Ray, given how good he's been for two different teams now, and given how good he's been for an extended period of time. Has he gotten that sort of ultimate recognition? No. I think that's more circumstantial than anything else. But I do think people do, you know, recognize just how spectacular a player he's been for, you know, more than a decade.
Well, he's such a precision passer and obviously a future Hall of Famer, but if Saskatchewan prevails this weekend, this could be Ricky Ray's last game in an Argo uniform. He's a free agent at the end of this year. I don't know what his future holds. Have you had a discussion with him about that?
Yeah, actually, we talked to him about that last week as well. You know, he's not really willing to commit to anything beyond this year. You know, I think he'd like to play. Playing in Trussman's offense, I think, has done a lot for him. It's a quick strike offense, meaning it places a premium on short passes, high completions percentage, which has always been good for Ricky Ray, and also protecting the quarterback. And I think it's no coincidence that he's played 17 of 18 games this year, because that's a focus of Trussman. I don't see him going anywhere, Sherry. I really don't. If he's going to be somewhere, I think it's going to be in Toronto. Given Trussman, given his history here and all the rest of it, I can see them certainly trying to bring in another quarterback to have, you know, some insurance behind Ray, given his age and injury history. And I think they tried to do that this year and trying to trade for Zach Collaros midway through the season. So I don't think, you know, they're going to bring back Ricky Ray to be the guy and the guy alone as he's been the last few years here. But I think he will. My sense is he's going to come back, although you wonder if he might pull a Henry Burris, right? If he wins the cup, and just sort of says, you know what? I'm not sure there's anything left for me to prove. I'm still healthy. I've got my wits about me. Maybe it's time just to hang him up.
And he may do that. He seems like the kind of guy that would do that.
Absolutely. I think that's well within the realm of possibility, and that's why I think he sort of maybe not waffled, but wasn't willing to commit to it, because I'm not sure he's sure. Because I think that things could change for him if he wins another title. There is something appealing for players, as you know, in going out on top.
Drew, what does the league need here? Does it need Saskatchewan to go to the Grey Cup and bring all the Saskatchewan fans, or does it need Toronto in the Grey Cup because we think it's Toronto and it's a, you know, it's a big market? The whole stuff with trying to reestablish yourself in Toronto. What does it need?
I don't think either one of those outcomes is bad for the league, Jeff, honestly. I think that this Grey Cup is going to be a good Grey Cup because it's in Ottawa and because those fans have already embraced the experience. And I think people around, I mean, you know this, right? People from around the league come to Grey Cups each and every year. Like, you talk to people on the street, it's like, yeah, this is my 18th Grey Cup. And you're like, wow, that's incredible. And then the next guy you talk to, this is his 35th, you know what I mean? Like, people come to these things over and over again. And I think there was some excitement in for fans across the league and coming to Ottawa because it hasn't been here in so long, right? So I think it's going to, especially after how disappointing Toronto was last year, I think this year it's going to be a really great event no matter what. And the way that Ottawa's got it set up at Lansdowne Park and where the events are and stuff, I think it's going to be phenomenal. So I don't really think it matters what teams are in it, to be honest. It would have probably been better if the Red Blacks had made it, but that ship has sailed. So either one of Toronto, Saskatchewan has its positives. As you mentioned, I think the Rider fans travel better than any group of fans in the league, and it'll help Toronto with their exposure if they're in it. So I think it's a win-win for the league either way.
You know, we always talk about the Argos attendance and BMO Field, and I don't necessarily want to go over that story because it's old and everybody's got their opinion, and I've certainly got my opinion on it about what it's going to take for, you know, that place to start to be filled. But it's not like you're outside Toronto because Hamilton is outside Toronto, but I mean, you're in the general area. Drew, are people seeing, people around the league, are they seeing tangible progress in Toronto in terms of getting a foothold in this marketplace again? Like, are they seeing something that gives them, you know, hope that the Argos are on the verge of kind of, you know, frankly, reestablishing themselves? And I thought when they won the Grey Cup here, I thought, okay, it's going to be a talking point at least. It was for a while, but do people around the league view this as a situation that's improving in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I think they feel it's improving because I think they have faith in the ownership group now, right, to stay behind it. I think that's the most important thing. I think that there was real concern about Toronto given that David Braley, despite all the things he's done for the league, and there's quite a long list, that his commitment to Toronto wasn't as significant as I think people felt that it could or should be, and that lack of commitment to the franchise in some respects did damage to the brand. And I think that that's what the Argos are dealing with right now. It's not where you play or the market or whatever. It's the fact that the brand has been damaged by, you know, the last, whatever, 5 or 6 years. And I think that the Argos, to their credit, finally realized that. And talking to Michael Copeland, the president of the Argos, last week about ticket sales and the East Final and the opportunity that this presented, they realized that this is just one step in the process, that there isn't a magic bullet anymore. I think there was this feeling within that management group that moving to BMO Field was going to be a magic bullet. And it wasn't. And it was never going to be, because the brand has been damaged. So I think that if there's any positives to take away from what's happening in Toronto, is that the Argos management team and ownership now fully recognizes the enormity of the challenge in front of them, right? And recognize that it's not a one-year thing or a one-event thing, that it's going to take, you know, several years of sustained on-field and off-field excellence to put that brand back into the position where it needs to be. And listen, you and I have seen this in Hamilton, right?
Right.
When I started covering the team in 2009, right, that was the same narrative, right? They'd won 17 games over the previous 4 years. The ownership before Bob Young took over had been disastrous, and the brand was damaged. It took a long time to repair that. And, you know, when we talked about those things back in those days, in 2009, 2010, it wasn't about just the Argos. It was about how Southern Ontario was in jeopardy, right? There was problems in both markets. Well, Hamilton has resolved their problems largely. There are still challenges there, but, you know, they've done a great job at rebuilding that brand into something else. The Argos are still struggling. So, but I think they see it, and I think they see a blueprint forward, and they're working on it.
And it will be a fact that this will be the biggest crowd at BMO Field since the Toronto Argonauts have moved there, but it will be a crowd divided. I mean, we all know how rabid those Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans are, and they will be well represented. Do you think, though, that this is the year, maybe, that the Riders will be the first crossover team to reach the Grey Cup since the crossover rule was adopted in 1996?
I think that this is the best. Let me think about it, because there have been a few teams that I thought had a shot. But this is the best team I can think of in recent history that has a chance to do that. For a couple of reasons. One, they're really good and playing phenomenal football right now. But also because I think Chris Jones has got them in the mindset that they can do this, right? And the way they're approaching this, like, they stayed in Ottawa this week to practice out there, right? And they've done that throughout the year where they traveled and stayed on the road between games out east, right? So this experience isn't new to them. I think that, the Riders organization, given its vast economic resources, has made some decisions that have given them a better chance to win in the East. And part of that's just spending the money to stay out here. And that's what they've done this week. And I think they've got as good a shot to be the first crossover team to make it as any team that I can think of.